It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus. Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Go 24/7 podcast. Thanks for listening. I'm Billy Umbody. With me, Sonny Shipp, to break down a ton of team news that has really kind of been flowing in from preseason award watch list to some tidbits Sonny dropped on the team to camp battles. We've got a lot to talk about as LSU returns to the field on Friday with the coaches. It's not fall camp. It's football school. It's a little bit of a acclimation period with the coaching staff as the players have been on campus this summer working out with Tommy Moffitt, and now they're able to work with the football and get back to business. Sonny, we're still kind of up in the air on what college football season is going to look like, but I know I'm excited about the players and coaches at least getting back on the field together. It seems like things are starting to trend in the right direction in that respect.
Yeah, and what I like about it is that it's almost like you've been in t-shirts and shorts for so long, and granted they're not putting on pads or anything, but they're actually able to kind of get together and start doing some things. You know, they can as the rules state, they can have a walkthrough with a football. Well, you know what that means. I mean, they can actually get out there. They can, you know, they can do some stuff. They can run some plays. They can, do things more geared towards actually playing on Saturdays. And it's been a long time coming with missing so much time in the spring. And then with, you know, players having to go home and work out on their own, chop down trees to be able to lift weights and all that stuff. It's good for them to finally have a little more sense of normalcy. And, hopefully it's just a prelude of things to come.
Yeah, and we're still a little bit away from fall camp. Like we said, football school getting underway for LSU and Ed Ogeron. I'm keeping an eye on offensive line. This is now we can turn the page and look at position battles and say, okay, who's battling who? What's the pecking order? This is just the beginning of certainly fall camp and those position battles. I think you look at, obviously, Dare Rosenthal was out for the spring, and then Ed Ogeron has been talking him up as a left tackle now that he's back with the team. But then you have some players emerging at certain spots from what Ed Ogeron has shared on 104.5 over the summer. I mean, you look at Ed Ingram at left guard. You look at Chason Hines at right guard. Liam Shanahan, the graduate transfer at center. You've got the mainstay, Austin Deculus, on the right side. But this is a position group that, until they put the pads on and start working together and finding that cohesive unit, we could see a lot of shuffling. And I'm intrigued by what James Craig is going to come up with that unit and who could emerge in fall camp when the pads come on, because it's going to be an adjustment for Liam Shanahan to come from Harvard to the SEC. He's got the size. He's got the smarts to do it, but it'll still be an adjustment period. How does Chason Hines and Anthony Bradford and Cardell Thomas battle at right guard? Can anyone overtake Ed Ingram at left guard? Can anyone push Dare Rosenthal at left tackle? All of those things. And then you factor in the freshman coming on board. I'm intrigued by how the offensive line is going to look as fall camp rolls along.
Yeah, I am too. And when I spoke to a source earlier this week, and we were talking about mostly about the offense and the passing game. And then we talked about a little bit about the offensive line. And this source commented that, you know, the offensive line is going to surprise some people. That what he's heard from others who have seen a little bit more, feels like the offensive line is going to be okay. You know, I think the key is that, you know, it has to stay healthy. There's not a lot of depth, particularly on the edges. And then I think Liam Shanahan, he has to show that he can be that rock in the middle of the line, that he can make the calls and that he can, that he can take that next step, because that's going to allow Chason Hines to slide over to his more natural position of guard, which he played pretty well at when he was a true freshman. in 2018. So I think the offensive line, I think it's going to that it's going to be a little bit better than some folks are giving it credit for right now. You know, when I look at my biggest battle, though, I'm a flip over to the other side of the trench in defensive end. There's just so many guys who could potentially, you know, not only start, but, I mean, you literally could go four deep on that defensive line, you know, particularly on the edges. Justin Thomas, Andre Anthony, you know, I think Neil Farrell is a guy that if he continued to shed some weight, you know, he could factor in at defensive end in addition to playing inside. You look at B.J. Ojulari. You look at Phillip Webb. You've got Travez Moore coming back. You've got Ali Gay coming in with this class right here. To me, there's just so many options and so many possibilities, but yet not a one of them is established and proven. So I think that's going to be a very interesting, you know, some very interesting position battles to watch.
I'm with you on that front with the defensive end spot and also defensive tackle. I mean, you look at Tyler Shelvin, Apu Aika, who played well in kind of a limited role last year, but Shelvin really emerged. I mean, some people have him as a first round draft pick type of player and certainly one that, you know, is going to be a difference maker for LSU. And then you've got guys like Neil Farrell and Jaquelin Roy and Jacobian Guillory coming in and Glenn Logan back and some of these veterans around. And so there's going to be an interesting feel to the defensive line as they transition to the 4-3. Where do you guys line up? Where do they fit best? You mentioned Neil Farrell, the potential of him shedding some weight and being able to fit maybe at a defensive end spot. And I'm with you on the defensive ends being probably the most highly contested position battle of the defensive side of the ball because they have a lot of talent. They also have a lot of unproven players at that side. And so what Bill Johnson and Bo Pelini and Ed Ogeron come up with on the defensive line is going to be really interesting.
Yeah, well, Bill, I couldn't agree with you more. You know, the options, you know, I mentioned defensive end. You could very easily look at defensive tackle, two guys who played inside last year. You've got, I mean, who are you know, defensive tackles in a 4-3, Neil Farrell, Glenn Logan, Tyler Shelvin, Apu Aika. And then that's not to mention all these true freshmen who are coming in, Jacobian Guillory, Jaquelin Roy, even Eric Taylor. You know, for LSU to have so many options on the defensive line, and granted, like we both alluded to, is that some of them are unproven. The talent is there. It wasn't long ago was just looking to move anyone that they could over to the defensive line. So kudos to the staff for really shoring up that side of the ball. Now if they can get that offense, the edge protectors shored up from a depth standpoint on the other side of the ball, then I think they're going to be really, really solid in the trenches from a depth standpoint relative to where they were just not too long ago.
Yeah, great point. And look, as we took a look there at some of the preseason camp position battles, there's also been plenty of preseason award watch lists coming out. LSU has cleaned up in that respect already. And while it's not like the postseason award list that of honors that they picked up after the national championship game, there's a few mainstays on some of these lists. We talked about Tyler Shelvin. Well, he's on the Outland and the Nagurski Award watch list. You look at Jacoby Stevens and Derek Stingley, both made the Nagurski Award watch list and the Thorpe Award watch list. I think when you look at Derek Stingley, he's got the chance to make it back-to-back Thorpe Award winners. And quite honestly, if you're betting on Derek Stingley to play the way he did last year, he's got to be right at the top of the list to win the Thorpe Award.
I mean, if you're betting, if you're handicapping the odds, you certainly have to like where Stingley is in the race. You know, I just wonder if he's going to get as many opportunities as he had last year. Picked off six passes. I think he broke up another 15. It might have been 18 if memory serves him correct, but I think it was 15. Regardless, a lot of passes. He got a lot of action last year. And I wonder if he's going to get nearly as much with, you know, he doesn't have an experienced veteran on the opposite side like he had last year with Christian Fulton. And so I think that's going to free up some opportunities for Jacoby Stevens, who surprisingly, he was a second-team preseason All-American when Phil Steele with Phil Steele's All-American teams. And that kind of surprised me a little bit because I figured that he would get some mention and some recognition, probably more towards the third team on a lot of lists. But, you know, I think he's a guy in Bo Pelini's defense. He's going to have a chance to be a playmaker like he was last year. You're talking about someone who had 5 sacks, picked off 3 passes, recorded 92 stops, I think 7.5 for loss. So a lot of, he was right there in the top three in most of LSU statistical categories, minus passes broken up. So I think he's going to have an opportunity too, if Stingley doesn't get quite as much action and have chances to make as many plays as he did last year. Jacoby Stevens is a guy who could kind of sneak into that Thorpe Award picture towards the end of the season.
To round out the awards discussion, Cade York nominated for the Lou Groza Award, Zach Von Rosenberg nominated for the Ray Guy Award, and then Jamar Chase, of course, nominated for the Biletnikoff Award on the watch list. And, of course, he won it last year in 2019. And, Sonny, you talked with a source. You mentioned it earlier in the podcast. Things appear to be trending in the right direction once again for LSU's passing attack. What are a couple things that you can share with us from the VIP notes, which, by the way, if you want the full notes, you should subscribe to Go 24/7 for just $1 for your first month, or take a huge percentage off your annual subscription today.
Yeah, and for those kind of wondering more about that, look, you jump on that annual subscription that we have right now, you get 6 free months off of your annual subscription. I mean, that's a terrific offer. That takes you all the way into, you know, where we are next year, leading up into the 2021 campaign. So, but yeah, everyone, if you listen if you read the national preseason magazines, you listen to the national analysts, you know, the thing that they all jump on is that LSU could be good if. And that if always centers around Miles Brennan and the passing game. Are they going to be able to, not do what LSU did last year? I mean, you're talking about one of the best quarterbacks in college football history with the season that Joe Burrow had, the number one draft pick in the NFL and everything. But if Miles Brennan can just keep things going and be a guy who distributes the ball to all these playmakers. Racy McMath, a guy that a lot of people are going to hear about this year. Terrace Marshall, former 5-star. Jamar Chase, last year's Biletnikoff Award winner. Eric Gilbert, the number one tight end in the history of 24/7 sports. And so he's got a ton of weapons to work with, and the key is just going to be him being able to distribute that ball. And from talking to a source, the passing game is clicking right now. Granted, it's just 7-on-7. Brennan's not facing a pass rush. He doesn't have pads on. He's not worried about being hit or anything. But just from the standpoint of the quarterback and the receivers being on the same page, they're clicking right now, according to this source. And this is not, this is someone who's pretty critical too, who, things have to really be going good for him to be as positive as he was about this. And something else that he added is that, a lot was made over some things that Joe Brady brought over last summer with the receivers having to catch, thousands and thousands and thousands of passes, just the different kind of unique drills that they did. And Mickey Joseph and new passing game coordinator Scott Linehan, they've kept that going. They're implementing that, putting a little bit of twist on it, a little bit of all of the experience that Linehan has from so many years in the NFL. And so when you lump that all together, there's so much positivity coming on the passing game right now, to where I think that I don't think that LSU is going to take as big of a step back as a lot of people thought that they would, just 3 months ago.
Now that's great stuff. And then also, I mean, gosh, Miles Brennan. Everyone talks about his weight, of course. He came in at about 6'4", 6'5", 170 pounds, and has since put on roughly 40, 50 pounds over the course of his time at LSU. He's now up to about 220 pounds is what he told Cody Worsham in his interview with him. And he did it by squatting trees that he cut down and benching them. I mean, Sonny, he was out at his family camp. Were you out there with him? I know you were out at the camp last weekend.
No, we definitely weren't chopping down trees. The only thing we were chopping down was beer cans and beer bottles.
Well, that was you, not Miles Brennan. But hey, maybe. I mean, he's of age. But, you know, the camp where Miles was at, he certainly was out away from everything and just had to make do with what he had at his disposal. So he looks ready to go for his redshirt junior year, man. I think he's poised to do some big things. I think he's got too many weapons not to.
I agree, man. I agree. And look, if we go back and if we look at Joe Burrow's, the growth, you go back to his first season in 2018, towards the end of the season after the Alabama game, he really started lighting it up, you know, throwing for over 300 yards a game in those last, I think, five games down the stretch when you consider the bowl game against UCF. And I think Miles Brennan is going to he's not going to take as long for the light to come on, kind of like it did with Joe Burrow, simply because this is going to be a much more quarterback friendly offense than what Joe Burrow had in his first year in 2018. But I think Miles Brennan is going to have a big year. I think that, you know, by the time we look back, we don't know how many games they're going to be able to play, but I think, you know, if they were able to play a full season with a minimum of 13 games, I would be shocked if Miles Brennan wouldn't post the second best passing season in LSU history.
Yeah. I mean, he's just got so many weapons at his disposal. Good offense. I mean, it seems like it's more likely than not to come together for LSU in 2020, at least offensively. Will they be able to repeat or do any of that? We'll have to see. But I'm certainly high on Miles Brennan's ability to run this show. And with that, Sonny, we'll keep our eyes peeled. We'll keep our ears peeled as well for any more tidbits to pass along on Go 24/7. But I think it's time we wrap this podcast up. We'll be back next week with another edition of the Go 24/7 podcast. Thanks for listening. Quick reminder to leave us a rating, leave us a review, and subscribe to the Go 24/7 podcast. Appreciate you guys. Hope everybody has a great weekend.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.